Hey, everybody. I am so honored to share with you today as we continue in our series, Didn't See It Coming. Can I tell you, 40 years ago, when I first heard the simple message of John 3:16, that God loved me so much that he gave his only son, and if I would simply say yes to him, I would not perish but have eternal life. And I remember praying a simple prayer, Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to come into my life and make me a new person. And friends, I didn't see it coming. All the love, all the joy, all the forgiveness, all the purpose, all the blessings that would come into my life, and it's brought me to this very moment 40 years later. I didn't see it coming that I'd ever have the opportunity to share a message of God's love and hope to so many people in our Echo Church family, our Crossroads Church family, and all of you who are jumping in online. I am so humbled and honored to get to share with you today. I didn't see it coming, but I'm so glad that I said yes to Jesus at 17. And it's my prayer for you that somewhere along your journey that you will say yes too. And speaking of 17, I want to ask you to do me a big favor. I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you're 17 years old. Now, for some of you, that would be very easy because you are 17. And for some of you, not too hard because you're in your 20s or your early 30s. But if you're like me, you might need a time machine to travel that far back. But I want you to humor me and imagine for a moment you're 17. And you're just filled with hope and anticipation and ambition and excitement about the future. You have these big dreams for your life of everything you hope to accomplish and experience. And then all of a sudden, your dreams get deflated. Events outside of your control, they crush your dreams, and you find yourself in a dark place that you never saw coming. Sounds like exactly what happened to all of us with COVID-19, right? We all had hopes and dreams and aspirations. I mean, think about it. Just 6 short weeks ago, we had jobs and a family rhythm and school and sports and dreams of events and travel plans. And then all of a sudden, this virus hits. And for some of you, this virus made you sick. And for some of you, you've been separated from your loved ones because of this virus. Some of you, you lost your job, and in the blink of an eye, you were laid off. And for our beloved high school seniors, our real 17-year-olds, our heart goes out to you. I can't help think of my friend Joel, who's a senior at Washington High School in Fremont. He was looking forward to track season. He was excited about prom and graduation, and now it feels like everything has been taken away from him. And here's the deal. Joel loves God, and he's trying to figure out, how do you deal with deep disappointment while hanging on to your faith? How do you deal with deep disappointment while standing strong and hanging on to your faith? Well, do you know in the Bible there's a story of another 17-year-old who did just that? It's a story that I know that can bring us hope and encouragement in our season of loss and grief caused by the coronavirus. And this 17-year-old, his name is Joseph. Do you know him? The story of Joseph is found in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50, and I'd like us to walk through the story of Joseph in 3 stages. And the first stage, I like to call Joseph the dysfunctional dreamer. The dysfunctional dreamer. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 5, it reads this. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives. Now, maybe you never caught this before, but did you know that Joseph grew up in a blended family? Just like many of you watching today, you have a blended family, and it's not an easy thing to do, right? A lot of times, it's hard on the parents, it's hard on the kids, and it was hard on Joseph. Well, his story continues by saying, but Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. It sounds like Joseph may have been a little bit of a tattletale. And then it continues, and here's where the dysfunction comes in. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. See, Joseph's father, Jacob, he really did some damage to his family. He did it by his outright favoritism. And it not only hurt his other children, it hurt Joseph, and it created a lot of division in the family. And there's also an interesting note about this beautiful robe. Bible scholars suggest that this robe was an elaborate, full-length coat of many colors, and it was a sign of nobility. Now, their family business was shepherding, working with animals, so you just wouldn't wear something like that out in the fields. You see, Joseph's father, he not so subtly implied that he thought Joseph was better than all his brothers and that he didn't have to work like the rest of the kids. Friends, can you see it? The hurt, the resentment, the sibling rivalry that this could bring. And then you look at the rest of the passage. But his brothers hated Joseph. Why? Because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. And one night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Now, I call this first stage of Joseph's life the dysfunctional dreamer because I wanted to highlight some important things in Joseph's life at age 17. First, I want you to catch that Joseph didn't grow up in a perfect home environment. He grew up in a blended, dysfunctional family. He had a father who loved him, brothers who hated him, and lots of tension in the home. But even in the midst of this, God gave this 17-year-old kid, he gave him a dream for his life. Now, I don't know about you, but I can really relate to what it's like to grow up in a broken, dysfunctional home. And Joseph, even at 17, can I tell you this? He knew God. And he knew God that had big plans, big dreams for his life. And if you're here today and you're a young person, I want you to capture this. You don't have to grow up in a perfect home. And you don't have to wait till you're all grown up and graduated or old and gray like me. You can know even now that God, he has big dreams for your life. And I say that because there's a real danger that when you get stuck in a season of disappointment, just like the season we're in now, sometimes out of hurt and disappointment, we let go of God's dreams for our lives. I want you to think about the great quote from Harriet Tubman. She devoted her life to the dream of leading slaves to freedom. And she faced so many hardships along her journey, yet she said, where she could have been tempted to give up and quit, yet she said this, "Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have it within you, the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars and change the world." Harriet Tubman had a dream. God gave Joseph a dream, and he has a dream for your life too. Now, the dream that God gave Joseph was very interesting. It's found in Genesis chapter 37, verses 7 through 11. And Joseph describes his dream to his brothers this way. He tells his brothers, "We were in my dream, we were out in the field, tying up our bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." Well, his brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think that you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them. Joseph even had a second dream that included his parents bowing down to him. Now, at this point of the story, I don't think Joseph fully understood all that his dreams meant, but I believe that he knew, even at 17, that God had big dreams for his life, and he hung on to those dreams through every season, every stage of his life. And that brings us to the second stage of Joseph's life. It's his life between ages 17 and 30. And as you hear this story, it kind of reads like Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate events. In fact, that's what I call this season, a series of unfortunate events. Because listen to what happened to Joseph during this time. First of all, he was betrayed by his brothers. Betrayed by his brothers. You know, not long after sharing his dream, Joseph went to check on his brothers in the fields of Dothan. And he is wearing his fancy, nice, colorful robe, and they see him coming. He's probably hard to miss. He'd probably be like a 49er fan going to a Raiders game in Oakland. He's going to stand out, and he's going to get hurt. I'm just saying. Look at what it says in Genesis 37, 19 and 20. The brothers say, "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." Well, can I tell you, as a pastor, I've seen people have to deal with all kinds of hurts in their lives, but not many are more painful than being betrayed by your own family. Well, the brothers decide that maybe killing Joseph might be a little bit over the top. And so instead, they decide to sell Joseph to some Midianite traders. And that's the second unfortunate event where Joseph is sold into slavery. Sold into slavery. And we see that in Genesis 37, 26 through 36. It says, "Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And the traders took him to Egypt, where they sold Joseph to Potiphar, the captain of the palace guard." So picture this. Here's this 17-year-old kid, and he goes from being the favored son to a betrayed slave, and he's sold to the captain of the palace guard, a man named Potiphar. But something very interesting starts popping up in the story. In Genesis chapter 39, this phrase appears several times, and it goes like this: "But the Lord was with Joseph." In fact, check out what it says in Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master." Potiphar noticed this, and he realized that what? The Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Even in the difficult times of transition, the Lord was with Joseph. And friends, the Lord is with you too. I think it was the dream that caused Joseph to live with this sense of destiny, to live with the sense that of saying, "I know that God is good. I know that he has good things for me. And even though it's tough right now, God is not finished. And I need to do my best for God where I'm at." You know, that's what my friend Joel is doing. He's being honest about his disappointment. Yet he's doing his best to trust God and believe that God still has good things for his future. Well, what about you? Are you living with a sense of destiny? In this difficult season, there's a phrase that I keep telling myself over and over again. It goes like this: "I will do my best and trust God for the rest. I will do my best and trust God for the rest." Well, when Potiphar recognized that God was with Joseph, he put Joseph in charge of his whole household, but that led to the third unfortunate event. First, he was betrayed by his brothers, then he was sold into slavery, and then thirdly, he was falsely accused and arrested. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 21, Joseph is put in charge of Potiphar's entire estate. And then it says this: "Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. 'Come and sleep with me,' she starts coming on to him, but Joseph refused. 'How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God.'" So friends, here's the scene. Joseph is entrusted in taking care of Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife starts making some moves on Joseph, but Joseph refuses. It's kind of like this kid I know, 18-year-old kid, good-hearted Christian boy. He goes into the Marines, and he's trying to encourage his fellow soldiers to say yes to Jesus, put their faith in God, but they're having none of it. And man, they are just harassing him nonstop, making fun of his faith. In fact, they decide that it'd be a funny joke to send a prostitute to his room. And so this call girl shows up, she knocks on the door, and when he opens it, this call girl says, "I'm here to give you super sex." And that good-hearted Marine says, "Soup or sex?" "Well, I'll take the soup, ma'am, just the soup." See, that's what Joseph was doing with this woman's advances. He was turning her down. He said, "I'm not buying what you're selling." And it was not only because he wanted to honor Potiphar and the trust that Potiphar had given him, but he also wanted to honor God and God's dreams for his life. Well, Potiphar's wife, she just wouldn't let up. And one time she grabbed Joseph by the shirt, demanding that he sleep with her. And Joseph tore out, he ran away, but as he ran, his shirt came off. And then she started screaming, and she told everyone, "You know, this man, he tried to rape me, he tried to rape me." And then you find in the rest of the verses in Genesis 39, verses 19 through 21, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story, so he took Joseph and threw him into the prison. Now, on just a side note here, there are some scholars who indicate that Potiphar didn't really believe his wife's story. And here's why. As captain of the palace guard, if he really thought that Joseph tried to rape his wife, he could have had Joseph executed on the spot. But Potiphar had seen Joseph's integrity. He had seen that God was with him every step of the way. And so to save face, instead of killing Joseph, he had him thrown into prison. And then the rest of this verse, here's this phrase again. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love." So much so that before you knew it, the jailer had put Joseph in charge of running the whole jail. Joseph goes from running Potiphar's house, and then in the jail, he goes to running the whole prison. And while he's there, something interesting happens. Two guys show up. One's the king's cupbearer. The other is the king's baker. And while they're in the prison, they both have a dream on the same night, and they ask Joseph to interpret their dreams. Well, God gives Joseph the ability to do that, and for the king's cupbearer, it's good news. In 3 days, you're gonna be set free. For the king's baker, not so good. In 3 days, he's gonna be executed. Well, Joseph tells the king's cupbearer, "Hey, when they set you free, remember to put in a good word for me and help me get out of this prison." Well, the Bible says that the cupbearer totally forgets about Joseph for 2 years, all until the Pharaoh has a very strange dream. And then the king's cupbearer says, "Oh, Pharaoh, hey, totally forgot. While I was in jail, I met this guy who can interpret dreams." And so Pharaoh has Joseph brought before him, and he says to Joseph in Genesis 41, verses 15 and 16, "I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it." "It is beyond my power to do this," Joseph replied, "but God can. God can tell you what it means and set you at ease." And then he goes on to interpret the dreams in Genesis 41, verses 25 through 30. Joseph responded, "Both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. But afterward, there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land." And then Joseph just throws in for Pharaoh. He says, "And if I were you, I would put someone in charge of a nationwide program to prepare for these events." In that moment, Joseph was speaking kind of like a modern day Dr. Fauci. Like he was caring for the whole nation. And then the Bible says this in Genesis 41, verses 37 and 38. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" And friends, it was in this moment that at age 30, Joseph launches into the third stage of his life where Joseph is living the dream. He's living the dream. In Genesis chapter 41, verses 40 through 46, the Pharaoh said to Joseph, You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take their orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a higher rank than yours." He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Friends, do you see it? Right here in this very moment, Joseph goes from the prison to the palace. He goes from zero to hero, from chump to champion. And at 30 years old, he's living large and he's running a large country. I want you to think about it, all these stages of Joseph's life, the dysfunctional dreamer, a series of unfortunate events, and then living the dream. Most of us would like to skip over this second event. Most of us would like to leave out the unfortunate events and go straight to living the dream, right? And I mean, think about it, 13 years. We're all feeling like this shelter-in-place order is like going on forever. But from age of 17 to 30, God gives Joseph this dream, but it feels like nothing good happens. And I am sure that for Joseph, he felt like it was a lot of wasted, lost, or even bad years. But when I look at the story, I call those Joseph's bamboo years. Let me explain what I mean. Do you know, in China, there is a certain type of bamboo that for the first 5 years, you can plant it. And then you can water it and fertilize it, do all the right things. But for 5 years, nothing will grow on the surface. But then after 5 years, a little sapling will shoot through. And then in one day, it will grow more than a foot. And then in less than 6 months, it will grow close to 100 feet tall. See, what you don't see during the first 5 years is it's all happening underground, where it's putting down roots and it's laying down a foundation to prepare for massive growth. And in this story, it was during those bamboo years that God was preparing Joseph. Friends, think about it. First, Joseph the slave, he learned how to oversee and run Potiphar's house. Then Joseph the prisoner, he learned how to oversee and run a prison. Only then was he ready to run a country. Well, as we come to the end, you might be wondering, well, whatever happened to Joseph's dream at age 17? The dream that his brothers would bow down to him. Well, friends, I can tell you that at the end of the story, God made Joseph's dreams come true. Because of this great famine in the land, Joseph's brothers, the very ones who betrayed him and sold him into slavery, they had to stand before Joseph to buy some food. Only they didn't know it was Joseph, and they bowed down to him as they made their request. You see, this is such a key moment because as we come to the end of the story and the end of my message, I want to highlight for you two key choices that Joseph made. They were key parts of God's dream coming true for him. And there are also two key choices that I would like to encourage you to make in this difficult season. The first choice, number one, is Joseph chose God's dream over despair. God's dream over despair. During his bamboo years, Joseph kept doing his best and trusting God for the rest. He kept believing that God was with him and trusting that God would make his dreams come true. And for you, can I say, if you will determine right now, if you would determine not to quit, not to despair, to keep on trusting God, that God is working to make his dream come true for your life. During the season, I want to encourage you to hang on to the great promise of Romans 8:28 that says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes for them." See, this verse right here makes me think of another 17-year-old. This 17-year-old girl who's telling her mom about how everything is going wrong in her life. She hates school. Her boyfriend broke up with her. Her best friend is moving away. Meanwhile, her mother is in the kitchen baking brownies. And she asks her daughter if she'd like a snack. And the girl says, "Oh, thanks, Mom. I love your brownies." And the mom says, "Well, the brownies aren't ready, but here, have some cooking oil." She's like, "Oh, yuck, Mom." And then she says, well, you don't like that? How about a couple raw eggs? Oh, Mom, that's gross. I don't want eggs. Well, how about this? How about some baking soda? And she says, Mom, all those things are terrible. To which her mother replies, she said, yes, all those things seem bad all by themselves. But when you mix them together the right way and apply a little heat, they make something. They bake something really good. And friends, you know, God works the same ways. Many times we wonder, why would God let us go through such bad and difficult times? But see, God knows when he mixes it all together in his order, he applies a little heat, but man, he's making and he's baking up something good for our lives. And when we choose to love him and trust him, friends, don't despair. Don't give up during this bamboo season. Trust that God is working. Do your best. Trust God for the rest. And he's going to grow something really good in and through your lives. Now, the second key choice, would you think about this one, is Joseph chose to get better, not bitter. Joseph chose to get better, not bitter. Can I tell you, in close to 40 years of ministry, one of the biggest dream killers in all of life is bitterness and unforgiveness. Yet somehow along Joseph's journey, he was able to see his life from God's perspective, and Joseph made the committed choice to forgive his brothers and not become bitter. In fact, the most important passage in the story of Joseph comes in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. It says this, "But Joseph replied to his brothers, the very ones who had betrayed him and sold him into slavery. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me." See, he didn't downplay what they did. He didn't pretend it didn't happen. He told them straight out, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I can save the lives of many people. Friends, you see, it was only by hindsight that Joseph fully understood the dream. And it wasn't to make himself great. It was to put him in a position of power and influence and resource to save many lives. And by the way, can I tell you, if you are in a position of power and influence and resource, it's not to make you great, but to help save the lives of the people that God loves so much. And then Joseph says this, no, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Do you see, in this moment, Joseph chose what was better, forgiveness over bitterness. And I wonder, who would God ask you to forgive during this difficult time of loss and grief? You know, when I was 17 years old, that's when I said yes to Jesus and put my faith in Christ. And that's when I started to live with this sense of destiny, that God had good plans for me and big dreams for my life. And one of the hard things that God asked me to do early on was to forgive my father. And like Joseph, I grew up in a broken, dysfunctional family where my father divorced my mother. He abandoned me and my brothers. And I felt such betrayal and disappointment from my dad. And I said, God is so hard. How could I ever forgive him? And God just said, hey, just take all the grace and forgiveness that I've given you through Christ and transfer that over to your father. And I won't lie to you. It was really hard, but God helped me. And I know for a fact, I would not be standing before you today living this dream if I would have held on to unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart. I want to close with a great verse from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12:15, that says this, "Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God." Could it be that the very reason that you're here in this service today is to receive the grace of God? the gift of his love and forgiveness extended to you through Christ, who died on the cross to forgive your sins, who resurrected from the dead so that you could have eternal life. You can receive the grace of God just by opening up your heart and saying yes to Jesus. To say, Jesus, the best way I know how, come into my life, forgive me, make me a new person. And I pray that today will be your day to say yes to Jesus. Now the rest of the verse says this, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Friends, don't let bitterness and unforgiveness poison your soul or rob you of God's great dream for your life. Don't let it take away God's dream for your life of using your life to make a difference in the world for good and helping to save the lives of many. Who would God ask you to forgive today so that his dream for you can come true? Maybe for you, it's a family member or a friend who betrayed you. Maybe it's a spouse or a parent who abandoned you. Maybe it's a boss or a company that you worked hard for and they laid you off anyway. My prayer for you today and for me is that God would use this great story of Joseph to remind us that even in this tough season, God has big dreams for our lives, and he wants to use this time to better prepare us so those dreams can come true. And I'd like to pray for that to happen now. Would you pray for me? Father in heaven, thank you that you had big dreams for Joseph and for us. Thank you that you were with Joseph, especially during the tough times, and that you are with us now. Help us, God, to hang on to you and trust you during this terrible time to do our best and trust you for the rest. God, give us the grace to open our hearts to you and guard us against all bitterness so that your dreams can come true in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey everybody, thank you so much for letting me share this message with you today. I'd like to turn it back over to Pastor Andy Wood, and God bless you everyone, amen.